Today, pandemics, plagues, and natural disasters. What is God saying to us? The COVID-19 virus has spread around the planet, sending billions of people into lockdown. In the United States, over 6 million cases have been reported, and over 190,000 deaths. It took India only 20 days to go from 1 million to 2 million people infected with the virus, and it now has over 3 million cases. What is God's relationship to this pandemic? Did he cause it, or is he just an interested observer? Is this virus some sort of judgment from God? How does the Bible answer these questions? My guest today is Dr. Erwin Lutzer, pastor emeritus of the Moody Church in Chicago, Illinois, where he served as a senior pastor for 36 years. He is a renowned theologian and an award-winning author of over 50 books. We invite you to join us for this special edition of the John Ankerberg Show. Today's topic, the silence of God. Welcome to our program. I'm John Ankerberg, and my guest is Erwin Lutzer, the pastor emeritus of the Moody Church in Chicago, Illinois, where he served as a senior pastor for 36 years. Folks, we've got a topic for you today that is for all of us all the way around the world. It's called Pandemics, Plagues, and Natural Disasters. What is God saying to us? Is God saying something to us? And Erwin has authored 50 important books, and today we're going to talk about his newest book about to come out with that title. And Erwin, it's great to have you with us today, and let's jump right into the topic. We have a worldwide epidemic going on. We have a lot of crises in different nations. And a lot of those nations are watching us right now. Some of it's being translated into their language. But I want to know, how has the epidemic and all of the things that are happening as a result of the epidemic worldwide, how has it affected you, and how do you think it's affecting the change that's happening in our world today?
Well, John, first of all, let me say that I'm so delighted to be here to speak about this topic. I think that what we're going to share is going to be a tremendous blessing. And could I just say at the beginning, frequently you find people who are going through difficulties, they are told to trust God. And of course we should. But what we want to do in this series of programs is really to show people that you must trust God even if things don't work out for you. So I say to all those who are hurting that you have referred to, we are so glad that they have joined us. Now, as far as the pandemic is concerned, my wife and I know a family that had the pandemic. We know people who have died as a result of it. We also know people who have lost their jobs as a result of the pandemic. And then beyond that, think of how it has affected the church. Many of our churches were not open. They were not allowed to be open. And of course, oftentimes the media has been used, but it's very different than being able to connect with people. And of course, there's a tremendous downside to all this also. One of the statistics indicates that as a result of people actually being locked up and staying in their homes, that there's even more child abuse that's going on.
Yes.
So as we speak about these things, we want to talk to these human needs and give hope from the scripture, and that's why it's so important for us to listen to what God has to say.
Yeah, and there are other disasters that are taking place. Easter Sunday night, right here in this area, we had 7 tornadoes that went through this area. I think of our friends in Africa that experienced in Kenya and different places the grasshopper plague that came across and just covered homes and covered people. You could hardly see them, and they ate their weight in food every day, so the kids were starving to death. I think of India, where we got lots of friends, and the fact is it's grown over 1 million people that have gotten the COVID virus, and they're up to almost 2 million people now in the nation, and it's continuing to grow. So I'm saying things are happening as a result of all of these things that are hurting people. It's a disaster that's going on, and people want to know, where is God in all of this?
Yes, John, I think people are asking some very relevant questions that we're going to be discussing today and in future programs. For example, they do ask, where is God in the midst of all of this? Did he cause it? Does he just watch it? You know, what's happening from that standpoint? But the other kinds of questions they are asking is this a result of sin? Can you look at the nations that have sinned the most and they have most of the pandemic? Is that the way we should interpret it biblically? We're going to be discussing that later on, but those are the kinds of questions. And then the other question is that in the midst of God's apparent silence, I say apparent silence, can people trust God? Does God actually care about us, or does he just say that he does? And do we have the kind of faith that is going to be able to take us through this and recognize that in the Bible there is a hope beyond this life? And so we encourage people, we help them to interpret the events that they are involved in right now, but we want to give people an eternal hope, and that will become clear as we continue to discuss these
things.
Yeah,
what bothers me, Erwin, is there are a lot of people that are on representing God supposedly, but I'd call them false prophets. And they are giving a word as to what they believe God is saying, and it's not true. Give me some ideas of the false prophets that you've heard, even on TV, radio, in different parts of the world, talking for God as to this pandemic.
John, I'm absolutely convinced that when we speak on behalf of God, it has to be through the Scriptures.
Right.
False prophets always pretend that they have a direct line to God, that they can read the fine print of his diary, and they know exactly what is going on. So I'm thinking, for example, of a false prophet, a woman who said that we are going to have authority over this virus and we are going to declare it to be illegal. John, we have no authority over the virus to declare it to be illegal any more than we have authority to say death is illegal. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just claim authority over death? There were others that said, oh, the virus was going to end in at the end of March of 2020, and God has shown me these things. And I want to say to all those who are listening that when we talk about this, I'm speaking now about how you and I are talking about it, we are going to take people to the Bible, because I believe that God is speaking, but we need to hear from his word. So we don't have any independent revelation. We are dependent upon the God that has been revealed in Scriptures to interpret what is happening.
Non-Christians have their own questions, okay? They're saying, is God orchestrating this? Can you Christians answer that one? Is this a judgment from God? What kind of a God would allow this calamity to happen? When they look at kids dying on the street, when they look at older people that can't even talk to their relatives as they're dying? Or some will say, I've actually heard this at TV stations, sure, we're sinful people, but I mean, do we deserve all of this? Another one that comes up, is God obligated to actually deliver all Christians from this disaster? You can start with any one of those, but what else have you heard?
Well, yes, indeed. And I want to say a word to the atheists that are listening. We're going to be dealing with these doubts later on also in these programs. But for now, I want all atheists to realize the existence of evil and the existence of suffering on this planet does not at all speak against the existence of God. But we do admit that it calls the kind of God that exists into question. Is he the kind of God who simply stays in heaven, watches what is happening, and has no involvement in this world? what kind of a God are we dealing with? You know, the early Christians had to face this too, and we'll probably get to that either in this program or the next one, but they had to face the idea of plagues that came, and a quarter of the world's population was wiped out during the Black Death, especially in certain countries in Europe. And they had to face the question of the silence of God. But here's what we need to do, is to recognize that we should never interpret the silence of God as the indifference of God. God cares even while he is supposedly silent. And God isn't silent.
No.
First of all, he's revealed himself through the scriptures, of course, but we must recognize that when Jesus came to this earth,
This is the key.
God says, I am breaking into history. Here's the God-man who's going to be sacrificed for people's sins. He's going to endure all kinds of injustice. And the exciting thing about Jesus is that he was sinless.
That's right.
And because he is sinless, he can actually be a savior to save us from our sins. And I'm sure we're going to get into this, but when we see natural disasters, yes, they are a product of sin, certainly the fallenness of this earth, but that's not where God has left us. In the midst of his apparent silence, he also gives to all of us tremendous hope. And that's what we're going to be talking about and offering to the people who are listening to this program.
Yeah, let me just follow up on that. As I was reading your book, I was taken back to a couple of things. Number one, for the atheist that is out there, you got to deal with Jesus, okay? We've been doing some programs with some of the top historical scholars in the world, and there's over 4,000 scholars now that believe there's 12 historical facts about Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his appearances to the disciples. These aren't Christian people necessarily. These are people that are in academic institutions from Oxford and Cambridge all the way into Harvard and Duke and some places. And we have some of our friends that are putting together a 5,000-page book that's going to have all the documentation. And I've had them on the program. And the fact is that Jesus Christ actually did live. Plenty of proof about that. Claim to be God, plenty of proof about that, allowed himself to be murdered on a cross, was buried, rose again. All kinds of gods in the world. There's all kinds of claims, religious claims, but there's only one person who claimed he would come back from the dead, and that was Jesus Christ. And he appeared to his followers, all right? And that's the authority that we're using today, okay? Jesus Christ, he talked about disasters, and we're going to talk a little bit about what he said about them, but the fact is he came to redeem this world from the very reasons why we have disasters. And we're going to talk about what the Bible says, how did sin enter the world? And when I was looking at your wonderful book, and I'm going to recommend everybody get this book and read it, is that it brought me back to the fact that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, all right, that, they were cast out of the garden, but one of the things God said, because of what you've done, I'm going to curse the ground, okay? I'm going to curse nature. Paul says the creation groans, waiting for us to be redeemed so nature can be redeemed. In the meantime, the fact of the terrible things that are happening to us with hurricanes, tornadoes, the pandemics that we see that come from nature itself, the fact is that God has allowed that because we are the ones that did the sinning on this. But coming back to the whole topic, Erwin, the fact is that talk a little bit about what Jesus said about pandemics, about natural disasters. And the righteous question that comes up from a lot of people is, I don't think I'm that bad that I deserve these disasters. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I mean, I go to church every once in a while. I even pray, and sometimes, you know, once a year I read my Bible. The fact is, why should something like this happen on my family?
You know, John, you actually raised four or five different questions.
Right.
You're aware of that?
Yes.
So the first issue I want to discuss is the uniqueness of Jesus, because you talked about the resurrection.
Yep.
And what we need to do is to say to all the people who belong to different religions, your religions might give you insight as to how to live, but you cannot have assurance when you die, because only Jesus is the one, as you pointed out, who won the victory over death, for one thing. He was sinless, and therefore he can rescue sinners. And we want to say to the people out there who are broken, who are going through times of great distress, many people overcome by guilt and regret, Jesus is the one that they are looking for, and they need to turn to him. Now, the amazing thing is, getting to another question that you raised, what did Jesus have to say? Well, we're going to get into this in another program, but Jesus talked about the fact that there are going to be pestilence,
right.
You know, plagues.
Right.
He talked about earthquakes.
Right.
And everything that we see today is a picture of a worse time that is still going to come on this planet. It's called the Great Tribulation. It's like going to a movie and you see a preview, and the preview reminds you of what's coming.
Right.
Everything that we see is a preview of a disaster that is going to be far worse. Now, picking up on what you mentioned about the suffering of this world, to those who believe in Christ, this world, with all of its suffering, is as bad as it's ever going to get. To those who are watching this program and have never come to personal faith in Christ, I have to tell you some bad news. No matter what you're going through, this is as good as it's ever going to be, because eternity is going to be far worse.
Yep.
So in the midst of all of these questions, and we can't answer all of the questions that people have except to say this: when you read the Bible, you know that God has an overriding purpose in everything that is happening, and we'll have to get back to that at some other time, this overriding purpose. But we don't understand all the reasons. But isn't it good news to know that we can trust God, even if there are these mysteries that we haven't been able to solve? And now I'm getting to another question that you asked, because you gave a whole series of questions.
And I got two short ones at the end here.
All right. The question is God obligated to rescue Christians from this?
Great question.
Great question. Don't listen to the false prophets who tell you, yes, you can be delivered from all these things. Look at the end of Romans chapter 8. Where the Apostle Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, nakedness, which is total destitution, the sword, which is martyrdom. The Bible indicates that Christians are going to experience all these things, and that does not separate us from God's love. And then he goes on to say, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors in him who loved us. And then it discusses all the other things, height, depth, whatever. It cannot separate us from the love of Christ. And what people need to do is to come to Christ and to receive his forgiveness, his pardon, and his acceptance. And they will know that no matter how bad COVID gets, the worst thing that can happen to a person is not COVID, it is dying without
Jesus
Christ.
Right.
That is far worse.
Two things I want to end up with here, okay? Today, we've got people all across Europe that are watching us. And Europe today is 5 out of 10 people are in the atheistic mode. Up in Scandinavia, it's 8 out of 10. How did that happen? Go back to Lisbon earthquake of 1775 had a great impact on Europe. And then I want to go into one more thing as we close the program. We got 4 minutes. And that is what Jesus said about how you build your house, the foolish man and the wise man. All right? So tie those two together.
All right. 1775, November 1st, Lisbon. It's All Saints Day. The churches are crowded.
Yep, because it was All Saints Day.
Because it was All Saints Day, and the earthquake comes. 30 to 40,000 people die.
Yeah, some say 50 to 80,000.
On the one hand, you have people who say, we have to seek God because it reminds us that life is so transient, okay?
Right.
That's on the one hand. On the other hand, you have people like Voltaire, the great atheist, who says, who needs a God who doesn't even protect his own people when they're in a church worshiping him?
Right.
So what happens is, and now I'm going to get into the other issue that you mentioned, the words of Jesus, these crises really reveal character.
Right.
Are you going to build your house on something solid or something that isn't solid?
Right.
And now I can speak to that. What I want to do is to just simply address everyone that is listening out there. Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, told a very interesting story. He said there were two neighbors. One built his house upon the rock, and the other built his house upon the sand. Now, Jesus said natural disasters came. There was a flood, rain came, but there was also wind. It came. And the house that was built upon the sand, of course, as you might suggest and know, collapsed. But the house that was built upon the rock stood. In the midst of the calamities of life, and it may not just be COVID, whatever it is, you're experiencing difficulty now. For some of you, that house that has collapsed, that has fallen apart, represents your life. You have the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ, a Savior, who says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when you trust him, he is the solid rock that will take you all the way to heaven. So no matter what is happening in your life today, no matter how bad it gets, when you know Jesus, you also know that in the future, in eternity, it is going to get better, much better. So trust him today.
Yep. Next week, we're going to talk about, is the COVID-19 pandemic unique, or have people had to face this before? And we're going to go through a little bit of history on this. Your book's 175 pages long, and I've got 75 pages of notes. So that's why we're going back to a lot of questions, but we're going to do 7 programs on this because I want to get to the atheistic question, and I want to nail that in one program. It's going to take a while to do it, but the fact is I want to get rid of that one, okay? But next week, we're going to look at some general questions about what have Christians and non-Christians done in past history when these things have happened. And folks, I'm really glad that you joined us today. This is important stuff. Listen carefully to what Irwin is saying. And if you would, please stay tuned. I've got a personal word for you in just a moment.
For additional resources, log on to jashow.org. That's jashow.org.